Hello, and welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship with Pastor John Gilbert.
The last 5 weeks, okay? So 5 weeks ago, we started a series of sermons or teachings about I am. So in the Bible, from Exodus, book of Exodus, which is the second book of the Bible, there is a statement in the book of Exodus, and it says, this statement, God is saying to Moses, I am who I am, or I am that I am. Have you ever read that statement, anybody? It's Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. You see, if you go, just by way of introduction, okay, you go to the first verse in the Bible, and it says this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's what it says. The Bible doesn't have to try and justify that there is a God. God is there. And from the very outset, it proclaims that God is there. Before the heavens, before the earth, he is there. God was here before any... You know, if you talk to a little child like Elizabeth, or I know she don't talk properly, have full conversation, but if you talk to someone who don't know much about the Bible, you say, you know, in the beginning was God, and they say, who made God? Where did God come from? Yeah? You ever heard someone say that? Well, if someone made God, he wouldn't be God, would he? Eh? Someone else would be God. So the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what the Bible does, from Genesis all the way through, God unfolds himself to let you know a little bit more about who he is. That's what the Bible does. So, you know, I know that some of you only hear a sermon from, like, Psalm 103 or Psalm 91, and you think, how does this all piece together like a very big jigsaw puzzle? Who's ever done a jigsaw puzzle with 1,000 pieces in it? Takes a long time, doesn't it, Marjorie? You know, who's ever done a jigsaw with 5,000 pieces in it? It takes ages. Jackie, you done one with 5,000 pieces? You were doing that, you see. But the more pieces, surely the harder it is. Do you understand? Can you imagine the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? It's a great big picture, a massive tapestry. Could you imagine if it was made into a jigsaw puzzle? Do you understand? And someone gives you one little piece and you say, wow, what's that? What's that meant to be? And if you just hear one sermon, you need to hear every sermon to get the whole picture. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm saying that briefly to help us understand what today's sermon is about. You know, the statement is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus said that in John chapter 14, if you want to go there, John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it's a statement. It's an I am statement. And I've already said this, Dominic's not allowed to answer, but how many I am statements are there? And nor Jackie. Anybody know? In John's Gospel, anybody know how many I am statements there are? Seven. Who's? I heard a voice. Seven. There we go. We'll give you a pat on the back afterwards, all right? And there is one more profound I am statement somewhere else.
Revelation.
we've got some good Bible students here today. Nice. So we're going somewhere. Let's prepare our hearts. We read from John 14, verses 1 to 6, sorry. So I've already told you, here we've got Jesus is preparing the disciples for his coming death. He knows he's going to die. All through the gospel, in fact, when I say all through the gospel, from Jesus is constantly telling the disciples what's going to happen to him. And they're quite forgetful, aren't they? Have you noticed how forgetful they are? They don't seem to take things in very easily, do they? But his enemies, it's interesting, if you read Matthew's gospel, and when Jesus was crucified and had been buried, the chief priests and Caiaphas, who did they go and see? They went to see Pilate. And they said, sir, they said, this deceiver, when he was alive, he said he was going to rise again. Do you remember that? His enemies listened to what he said. His enemies were one step ahead of the disciples. We need to up our game, people, and be one step ahead. Jan's got to go and get Mia. So chapter 13 of John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus is having a Passover. He's with the disciples. He's washing their feet. Do you remember? In chapter 13. And chapter 13 flows into chapter 14, where there is the Passover. And so they're spending the night together before he's going to be arrested. And so they're having the last Passover, the Last Supper, before his death. He's washing their feet. He wants them to do likewise. They break bread. There's the betrayal of Judas Iscariot. He told them, didn't he? Tonight one of you shall betray me. And they couldn't believe what they were hearing. They were very upset. Anyway, then comes this most profound statement. The promise of heaven. This is the part of the Bible where Jesus is opening up something that is certain, that heaven is there. And he's going there. And the words that come out of his mouth are about this glorious place. And this is where we get our assurance as Christians that we will be with our Lord Jesus in heaven. You looking forward to that? He says, let not your hearts be troubled. He says, there are many mansions. Let's have a look. John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. 14 verse 1. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. And then obviously when someone like Jesus starts talking, you're going to start asking questions. And that's exactly what happens. Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's going to prepare a place. Well, I've been to Marjorie's house. It's a very beautiful house. Got many beautiful little bits and pieces. Very sweet, very quaint. You even inspired my wife to go out and buy some little ducks to put in the hallway. with all your teddy bears. But God knows the things that we like. Our Father, the Lord Jesus, knows. He knows I like a workshop. He knows I like a motorbike. He knows the things I like. So in heaven, he's preparing things that I like. That it's just me, Johnny G, my character, my personality. And he knows what you like. And when you get there, it will be beyond your wildest expectations, whatever he does. So here we have Jesus uses an I am statement because a disciple asked the question, how do we know the way? It's a good question for all of us to consider and examine ourselves. Let's go to our first heading, which is this. Jesus. My first heading is Jesus is the way to heaven. Consider this. Not that I will show you the way. Not here is the way. You might think I'm being a bit controversial, but I'm not. But consider what I say very carefully. You cannot just follow Jesus to heaven, right? And I'll explain myself. He was baptized, wasn't he? You want to be baptized? Or you are baptized, but you can be baptized and lost. I'll explain. He loved people, didn't he? You want to follow in his footsteps? You can love people and you can also be lost. He was a man of prayer, wasn't he? And don't we pray, Don?
Yeah.
I've been a Christian long enough to see other people be baptized, love people, pray for people, and they're lost. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I've seen people come very, very far and then backslide. Divorce their wife and then marry someone else and start a new family with them. I've seen it with my own eyes. And they're lost. Wow. You must be saved. The thing is, with us, we're human beings, and we sort of think, oh, we've got to get to know God. And we get to know God, we think, oh, we've got to be religious. And so we treat these things with a religious view. We get baptized religiously. We go to church religiously. We pray religiously. We love people religiously. We miss the point. We don't get saved. You've got to get saved to go to heaven. Salvation comes through faith in Jesus. Putting your trust in him. Standing upon the words that he says. My whole being, I trust everything he's saying. My life is built on what he says. Not just because he got baptized, I got baptized. In fact, last weekend, last Sunday was the 7th of August. Did anybody notice that? I got baptized last Sunday in 1988. I was trying to work it all out. It might have been the 8th of August I got baptized, but it was last Sunday, 1988.
And that's the year I was born.
Thank you very much, Liam. Thank you. Bless you. We're glad you were born in 1988. How old are you?
34.
So 34 years ago, 1988. So, you know, John 3:16 says, whosoever believeth in him. Do we really believe in him?
Well, we always believe
hold on, Liam. Hold on. Do we believe in him? Or are we just going through the motions? Because everybody else is going through. Oh, it's Sunday. I must get to New Hope. I must sit down and just play my part. Is that going to save you? Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, they're having a baptism on Sunday afternoon. I must play my part. Is that going to save you?
No,
it don't. Do you see what? Oh, there's a prayer meeting on the Tuesday. I think I'll join it. Will that save you? Do you understand me? Whosoever believeth. Do you see what I'm saying? We've got to go a step ahead of the things that we do. Don't just go through the religious motions. Yeah, do you understand where I'm going? In Acts chapter 16, there was a jailer and he was looking after Paul and Silas, and he had them under lock and key, didn't he? They were chained up, they were in the prison. And then what happened? Well, there was a prayer meeting, wasn't there, Jackie? And there was an earthquake, and the prison doors burst open, and the prisoners, their chains were broken, and the jailer got his sword, and he took his sword out, and he was about to fall on his sword to commit suicide, because he knew that if he didn't do that, then the authorities, they would have executed him anyway, and he didn't want to be executed the way that they would have done it. So he thought he'd do it himself. And Paul said, do yourself no harm. And the words were, what should I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So yeah, I got baptized because I want to please the Lord. I go to the prayer meeting because I want to please the Lord. You know, but I want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ first. Don't you? You want to get saved and you want to go to heaven? He's the way to heaven. He's the one that can take us there. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, by grace are you saved. By grace you are saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gift of God. It's God that, you know, I like to, one day I will be preaching a sermon on predestination, because I was reading some Bible verses the other day when Mayette was jogging around Richmond Park last week. Was it Richmond? Up and down the Thames. I was doing a Bible study and I suddenly thought, it's in the Bible that God has chosen people from the foundation of the world. Before the world was ever made, God chose people. God ordained people. God ordained a Hezekiah. God ordained an Isaiah. God ordained an Ezekiel. He prepared people like Abraham before they were ever born. Blow my mind. By grace are you saved. And Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith. Have we got faith today in Jesus Christ? Have we got faith? 34 years ago, when Liam Kirkham was born, 34 years ago, I was in a tattoo studio tattooing people. That's what I was doing. Inking people. Some of those people were under 16 years of age. Well, I wasn't much older myself. And their mums and dads were so angry with me, they wanted to beat me up, had me arrested because I was tattooing their sons and daughters. Well, that's another story. But what I'm going to say is, by faith, I put my tattoo stuff down and I followed after Jesus. That was faith. I believed in what I heard and I let go of the things I used to love. I used to love smoking marijuana. I smell it everywhere. I think, mate, someone's having a spliff round here. Oh, it's the person upstairs, you know. And I went to work the other day. The mother and the daughter, she's 15, they're smoking a spliff. That's another. By faith, I laid it down. And I'm not condemning anyone, please. You know, we do things. We do things. And I don't want to condemn anyone. That's not what God wants. But what I'm saying is, therefore, being justified by faith, I'm saved. And if you can demonstrate faith, that's what Jesus wants to see. He wants to see you demonstrate your believing in him by your faith. Can you do that? Can you do it? Show him you believe. Show him you got faith. Yes. Yes. My second heading. Jesus. Because he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So the first heading was, Jesus is the way to heaven. The second heading is that Jesus is the source of truth about heaven. Who else in the history of this world ever came down from heaven to be able to talk about heaven? No one. Mickey Mouse never came from heaven, did he? He came from somebody's imagination. Walt Disney. He drew him. Obi-Wan Kenobi never came from heaven, did he? I don't know who came up with the idea of Obi-Wan Kenobi. But the thing is, only Jesus is able to say, I am the truth. Because he told the truth and nothing but the truth. And I have to say, you probably will agree with me, there are many, many errors about heaven, aren't there? When I was a hippie, I lost my long hair. I had long hair once, right? And it sort of fell off, right? Anyway, I went to Glastonbury in 1986. Back in the day when it was a bit more wild, the first thing I saw at Glastonbury, I'd only just got there, there was a man, Bob, he had no clothes on. He was covered in mud. He was walking like that. He was out of his mind. He was literally mud. He was out of that. I thought, wow, what drugs is he on? That's what people went at Glastonbury to take drugs. I took LSD. I've never been the same since. When I came back from Glastonbury, I was in my tattoo studio tattooing people, and they said, what have you been doing, John? I said, I've been to Glastonbury. Wow. And they've gone like, I'd never heard of it before, right? And they said, what's it like? Well, what are you going to say? I said, it's hippie heaven. That's what it is. You want to go to hippie heaven? And go to Glastonbury. Well, I don't think it's like that anymore. It's a bit commercial now. But in my mind, heaven was Glastonbury. Hippie heaven. Now, recently, there's been a football tournament. All the women from the Arsenal and the Man City and the other places around the Premier League, they're all playing football. You know, on the head and all of it. You know how you do it. They just had the European Football Women's Championship. Is that right? You know about that. There was one game, and there were 7 goals scored against Norway. I think it was Norway. Anybody correct me, please do. So in the paper, the next day, I saw these words. 7th heaven or something like that. That the nation was so captivated with the women's football team that we were suddenly transported into football heaven. Did anybody pick that up? I did. What I'm trying to say is, people, they hype it up, we're in heaven here on earth. Do you see what I'm saying? When I look around, it's pretty, it's beautiful. I go to Bournemouth, I see the sunset, I see the sunrise, it looks lovely, but it's not heaven. It's Great Britain. It's England. Some people think, you've seen in the book of Revelation, it says something about 144,000 going to heaven, like virgin men that have not done this, that and the other, and they're going to go to heaven. But some people say only 144,000 are going to go to heaven. Is that true? It's not true, is it, Jackie? Not true, Bob. The Jehovah's Witnesses will say it is. But we don't believe it, do we? Some people say heaven is a state of mind. Is it, Bob? It's a nice idea, but it ain't true. Because my state of mind, it's not true. Trust me, you can go to all the psychiatrists, all the quacks, and you can lie down on their sofa and you tell them from me, heaven ain't a state of mind. It's a place. And Jesus can tell us about it. Jesus tells us in John 14, it's a place. And that is the truth. He is the only one who can tell us about heaven because he came from there, didn't he? Verse 2 of John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. And when Mayette and I, we go gallivanting. Last week I said we were in Richmond. Very posh, posh place. There was a big house. Very big house on the top of the hill. Remember the big house, Mayette? It's beautiful. She said, there's a lot of rich people in Richmond. I think that's why they call it Richmond. It's a rich place. And when I see these majestic buildings, Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And then he says, look, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He's very kind, Jesus. He wants us to know the facts. He don't hide things from us. He wants us to know what we need to know. And look at this. If it weren't us, I go there. I go to prepare a place for you. It's incredible. He's going to prepare a place for you and me. No one else ever said this. You can go to the what do they call it? The gurus in India. You can go and see the quacks in New York. You can go to the uppermost parts of the earth. But no one can tell you these words. He's preparing a place. Heaven is a place where Christians go at death. And Paul said, I'd rather be there than be here. He was wrestling with the fact with, I want to die. I want to get to glory. I can't wait to be with the Lord. Wonderful. We're all going to be there together. I mean, on a Sunday, come on, let me ask you, do you look forward to seeing each other here? Yeah? Jackie hasn't been here for a number of weeks, and nor has Marjorie. Were you looking forward to coming here this morning? Of course, no. There'll come a time when we're all going to be in glory. Huh? Are we looking forward to being there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever? Yeah. No more going home, see you next week, mate, all that sort of stuff. We're going to be with the Lord. He is the way, the truth and the life. This is not a... This is the truth. I am the truth and I tell the truth. Heaven is where Jesus will be. Heaven is where we will be when Jesus comes back to take us to be with him. You know when you go around visit someone? You go to some... I'll go visit Liam and Karen with Janet on Friday. And I sit down and I look around. It's all cosy. I said, oh, Karen, it's a bit stuffy in here. She said, Liam, open that door. Oh, let's get some air in here. We're going to go to heaven and we're going to sit down. And there's going to be, drinks and... You take your shoes off at the gates of heaven. I don't know, but it's going to blow your mind. I can't wait. Jesus took the time to tell the disciples where he's going, what it's going to be like. He's preparing a room for us. He's been there 2,000 years nearly, preparing a home for us. You know, I'll say this to you. At the moment, Rishi Sunak and Liz Truss, what's happening? They're trying to get you excited about what they're going to do when they become the Tory Prime Minister, aren't they? Have you heard it? No one's heard it. It's been in all the newspapers every day. It's been on every news. I'm so sick of it. But they're trying to make promise after promise after promise. Have you noticed that? Oh, we're going to cut taxes. Well, how are they going to do that? They need the money to get everything under control. They keep making promises and promises and promises. And Wally and Bob are long in the tooth to say, we've heard it all before. Haven't you? See what I'm saying? They don't take any notice. And I'm getting to that point, Bob. I've had enough of it all. Because they're all false promises. But Jesus does not give us false promises. He's telling us the truth. Because he is the truth. You can trust every word that he says about heaven. My last point is this. Jesus is the source of life that continues in heaven, because that's what happens. We will live forever. He says, I am the life. And although we seem to be falling apart, we seem to be breaking up, breaking down, we seem to be struggling to hold our body together, don't we? Every day I thought, God, I never had that pain yesterday. I better be careful how I walk in case something falls off. Don't you think like that? It's true, Bob. And Wally, look, you smile because you know it's true. Oh, look, that ear's getting a bit loose. I better hold that on with a bit of blue tack. You know, things seem to fall apart. But he has life. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. He is able. He is able to sustain us into eternity, eternal life. In him was life. John 1:4 that is. Remember he said, I am the bread of life. We feed off him. We broke bread last Sunday. He is the bread of life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Didn't he? We said it last week. Life is precious. We breathe. We let it out. Don't we? We're hanging on to every breath, aren't we? Reminds me of a story I saw in the newspaper the other day. The police went round someone's house to arrest somebody. And this young man, he was about 21, do you know what he did? Very smart. He was going to be arrested. And in the house where he was staying, there was a 5-foot teddy bear. He got inside the teddy bear to hide from the police. That's what he did. Great, you know, little Elizabeth might have one, David, but big thing. He got inside the teddy bear and he thought, they won't see me in here. And he was very sharp. He thought he got away with it. And one copper, he saw the teddy bear breathing. Like that, probably struggling to breathe inside the teddy bear, do you know what I mean? And they saw, he's in the teddy bear. Because he's got life in him. He's breathing. I thought it's a funny story. Life is precious. And sadly to say, not everybody agrees how precious life is. Because, you know, abortion, since we were children, has been legalized. And how many babies have been terminated because somebody thought, yeah, let's just get rid of them. It's so sad, isn't it? So sad. And then nowadays, you know, I don't use the word lucky in my vocabulary, but, you know, we're the blessed ones that survived. That's true. We're blessed that we've managed. I mean, when I hear of the word thalidomide, because when I was born, 62, that's when mothers were taking that medication to stop having morning sickness. And I look at myself and I think, I'm one of the blessed ones. Yeah. You know what I mean, Bob? Yeah, I'm one of the blessed ones, and so are you. God has kept us alive for a reason. But nowadays, as we're growing up, we start to see this thing, I see it on the news, assisted suicide. You seen it? You heard about it? And I don't know, my heart breaks thinking, you don't know. You don't know what Jesus is offering you. And then this word, I mean, I never heard it when I was a kid, euthanasia. You know, it's like they can't wait to get rid of us. And as we get older, you know, the youth of today, you've heard that expression, it's as if they don't know how to live a life. But our future's in their hands to a certain degree. Lord is sovereign over all, you know. But these are the things that we have in our society, and we skirt around them and we shake them off as if we don't care.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. But anyway, life is precious, and while we still have breath in our lungs, let's make every moment count. Should we do that? Because our life comes from our Lord. And I have to say, before we move on to our conclusion, Jesus is the only one who can provide eternal life for us to look forward to. How wonderful. The way, the truth, and the life. And this life will last forever. And I've heard it said, and I've only heard this said recently, or even though I believe for the last 34 years, that eternal life starts from the moment you're saved. That's great, isn't it? So Jesus is the only way to heaven, even though there are many ideas and fantasies about heaven. He is the only way. And he is also the only one who can reveal the truth about heaven that we're going to. He came from there, and we can trust every word he said. And lastly, he gives us that life that will continue into heaven. because he's got that power. You know, we said last week he raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus, in effect, Lazarus died twice, didn't he? You ever thought of that? When he died once, Jesus rose him from the dead. And then he lived his life again until he died again. And then he is now in heaven. So he lived and died twice. Wow. If you don't know Jesus today, will you come in faith to him? Not religiously, but just trust him by faith that you can hang on to every word he ever said. Can you do that? Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, you know, we're so humbled and thankful for the words that you spoke. Even as we read John 14 verse 1 to 6, we hang on to every word you said, Lord Jesus. Our hope, our trust, our future is in every word you spoke. I pray, Lord, that you would turn none of us away, but you would accept each and every one of us on the grounds of the faith, Lord, and the belief in our heart which is in you and no other. We love you, we want you, we need you, and we trust in you, even for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord. Lord, the things that we have done wrong, the times we let you down, the times we turn our back on you, the times we backslid, the times we lied, the times we had no interest in you, Lord. Please forgive us, Lord. And please receive us today that we might abide with you in our eternal home that you're preparing for each and every one of us. We trust you, Lord, with all our heart. In your most holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We meet at Grove Hill Community Center at 11:30 p.m. in Hemel Hempstead. God bless you.